Me. Oh, I forgot.
It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine.
Raise the voice here.
With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today.
That's what we're doing with the France.
So we're continuing with France.
Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is
trying to educate people and
trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport, Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93, the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wines is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Crusher Park in Montana.
Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
And we're here. Unbelievable. I don't know if that. Oh, there it goes. I don't know if that last sound effect was a like an explosion or a cork popping out of a bottle. That.
Well, I'll tell you, I turned up my speaker a little bit here so I can hear, and then all of a sudden, kaboom! It just blasted right in.
It was barely in there, and then I don't know what happened. But, yeah, well, welcome to the program. It is December 22nd, and I just wanted to barge in here real quick to let you know that this is not a rerun. You can you can watch all these holiday reruns and, you know, stuff from several many years ago, but we are live tonight on December 22nd, Thursday, and happy holidays and Merry Christmas and all that good stuff to everybody out there listening, and we're here, so thank you for joining us. It's 646-727-3235. Call us right now, and I'll talk to you in the green room for a little bit, and then see if we can put you on the air. That'd be great, and we'll talk on air. So, and talk to the many people who listen to us now.
Yeah, I know. We were just looking at our numbers. We've had some good numbers this year. Thank you, all of you who listen to us live and on archives. Thanks for tuning in to us.
Absolutely. And applause for that. But.
Yeah, really, really. We have fun doing this. I mean, this is really a lot of fun. And I know Mike has learned a lot of stuff, and I learn stuff all the time doing this. It's just so much fun talking to different wineries. So hope you are, too. Hope you're having a good time doing it and all that. So.
Should I disconnect a few times during this broadcast?
It may be. It might generate more listeners.
It seems to do pretty good for us.
I'm every having time we have video audio problems, and it always seems to be when the listeners come in.
Well, we got to listen to that one.
Yeah, really, really. So, see what they're doing now.
So we have a special program tonight, and I'll let you tell them all about it. And also, you have a festival this Saturday. Amazing Christmas Eve, December 24th. You have a festival, and we'll have the little information on that coming up whenever we push the button. So, information tonight. Just a little bit of everything. So
we're going to talk about this festival. Reason we decided to do a festival on Christmas Eve is because all the vendors said, that's a good time to do it. So we listened to our vendors, and so we're having one on Christmas Eve. So.
Yeah, a lot of gift ideas, and a lot of things you can, get for special people out there, for your friends, family, is going to be at the winery this Saturday. So definitely a great time to come out. And the weather's looking good. So
gorgeous.
It's great. Yeah, absolutely. So great time to come out and pick up something. And, there's unique items out there. So it's something that you're not going to find in regular stores. It's going to be, you know, very interesting. So good items out there this weekend. Come out Saturday, and like I said, we'll have the ad come up just a little bit to give you all the information and details. So that'll be really cool. So
yeah,
very good.
We are. We're excited about it, too. Everyone who did attend our birthday party a couple of weeks ago, thanks a lot. It was a great day, a great event and all that. We had a lot of fun. 10 years at one location there. And, you know, so we're very happy and very surprised that we've lasted that long. But thank you for all those of you who attended the birthday party. No telegram from the president or even the governor. I was a little
Did you expect from our busy government?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't even get one from the local rep. I mean, just, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said.
The sheriff didn't even stop by and say, hey, you know. Yeah. So, the sheriff's been by before, though, so I, you know. Give him that.
Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, it is. Hanukkah is the Festival of Lights, as it's sometimes called, is in progress now. The 7 days of Hanukkah, and so for those of you out there who are not familiar with Hanukkah, and I will try to explain it in a very, very short term here. It was a siege on a Jewish outpost or castle or something. I'm not sure of all the facts on this. They had just enough oil to last them one day, and it ended up lasting them 7 days. And so they celebrate the Festival of Lights because the oil did last a long time. So basically that's why the seven...
I thought it was 8 days.
Was it eight? Then 8 days. Very possible.
It was eight-day holiday. So, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, like I say, I'm not Jewish, and so I'm not really... I am, you know, just aware of the fact that the oils was only supposed to last one day and end up lasting the whole time.
Oh,
and
right.
That's what they celebrate. So,
wow.
You know, just a little bit of 7, 8 days, whatever.
Call us. And
yeah, call us if you know the answer. If you're out there and you know this, then call us. We will be happy to correct ourselves. Tonight we are going to talk about everything, anything. I'm just going to throw out some stuff to you, things that have been piling up around here, just information and cards and just, you know, stuff I've seen and stuff I want to pass on, things that we've talked about in the past of different things, and I'm just going to just to fill you with a little bit of knowledge tonight. Nothing outstanding, nothing earth-shattering, but just new interesting stuff, things that just would like to, you know, keep you informed is all. These are all coming out of all sorts of different sources. I'm not going to qualify every source tonight. I suppose technically I should. It's not going to happen because I don't remember half of them. A lot of these came out of trade journals that I get at the winery. We get all sorts of different things at the winery, and a lot of this information comes out of trade journals at the winery. There's also newspaper articles. There's also things I found on the internet. That's all sorts of stuff. So let that be the qualification of all these things that we're going to be talking about tonight. One of the things we're going to be talking about to a little bit of extent is going to be kosher wine. That's why I wanted to bring up the Festival of Lights, the Hanukkah, because kosher wine, it is required during the Festival of Lights, required during Hanukkah. And so I was curious, what is kosher wine? What makes it kosher wine? Where do you get kosher wine? And what's it all about? And so that's why we're going to discuss that a little bit. Also, we talked about champagne. I believe, when was it, last week? Or we mentioned a little bit of it a couple of weeks ago because of the season. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tonight and what they call it in the different countries and a few things on that, a little bit more detail on that stuff. I told my engineer here earlier that I wasn't sure if I had enough information to go through an hour, and she informed me that I never have a problem of talking for that long. So I guess we'll be into doing the full show. One of the first things I want to talk about here, This is out of the Packaging Digest. It's a trade journal, and it talks about different packaging. And they've given an award-winning sustainable package, an award-winning bottle design to a North Coast, California winery. It's called the Tentacle. Sort of cool. On the back of the bottle is the head of an octopus, and its eight arms wrap around the bottle, and so the front of the bottle has these arms coming back around it from the octopus that's in the back. They have started to do the bottling supplied by Tricor Brewing Wine Pack, which is a subsidiary of Caliber Wine Pack in California. And the Winter Hawk Winery is located in the Sassoon Valley of California. But just a neat design, neat bottle. It won an award as a great sustainable packaging, and they've been using it now, and it's gotten a lot of, you know, the thing is, we've talked about before, the design of your bottle to attract people is really, really booming now. We had a program on bottle designs and how it affects your choice when you go there. When you go and pick up a wine, and it really does. So if they're always in competition, wineries are always trying to find a unique way to get somebody's eye and a unique way to get somebody's attention to grab their bottle as opposed to any other that is sitting on a shelf. And I'll tell you, bottles aren't cheap by themselves. A case of bottles could run you anywhere from, you know, $10-$11 for six bottles. You're looking at about $1 a bottle, and that's just some plain bottles. That's nothing fancy, nothing important. When you start doing this etching on them and this special designs and special labels and paints and stuff that they're putting on a lot of these bottles, it really, really jacks the price up. And guess who's paying for that? So it's great that they have them, and it does call your attention to it, but it is it gets expensive. So just, again, just bits of trivia information there. First 1 liter PET bottle, and a PET bottle is the plastic bottles. PET is an acronym for whatever it is. I can't think of it right now. Petroleum something or another, but it's Société de Vin International Limited, based in Lavelle, Quebec, has introduced the first 1 liter PET wine bottle for North American airline industry. It's a lightweight bottle supplied by the Amcor Rigid Plastics Company, and it gives the airlines an option of carrying bottles of wine that are lighter weight. Bottles are heavy. Believe me, you talk to any winery about the cost of shipping bottles into them, and they're always looking at trying to find the cheapest way they can, because bottles, when you start getting bottles shipped from very far away, they could end up costing you half as much as the bottles do themselves, which again adds price to it, and it jumps it back up. The PET bottle from the Amcor Rigid Plastic Company is the same shape as glass. It delivers a cheaper fuel cost, though, which is really, really important. Air Transit out of Montreal, which is a charter airline, one of the largest ones out of Canada, by the way, started to use the 1 liter lightweight bottle, and they have found that it is reduced the weight on the craft and also reduced fuel cost, which reduces operation cost and all that. So all the way around, it really has helped them. And they said it's been well received by the travelers. People aren't griping, complaining because of the plastic. And this is the thing with plastic. While I'm talking about this too, a lot of people for a long time didn't like the plastic because they said it made the wine taste like plastic, or taste funny, or taste artificial, or any number of things that you can apply to the thing if it were plastic. Well, the quality that they have in PET bottles now, the quality they have in plastic is so far advanced that it is not a problem at all. You're not going to get a plastic taste. You're not going to get anything. You're going to taste the wine. And it's really a great way to transport it and everything. It is, again, so much cheaper. They also have a stock, a it in a 1 liter size, or it is the 1 liter size. They also, the bottle itself without without anything in it is only 54 grams, which is well, compared to glass container. Glass container weighs around 430 grams, so a substantial difference. And I didn't do the math before the program, and I can't do it now to tell you how much that is in ounces, but 430 grams for glass bottle compared to 54 grams for the PET bottle. That's, you know, you're looking at a ratio there of 8 to 1, you know, over 8 to 1 in weight. So a substantial difference. And when you're looking at airline flights and stuff, it really does make a big difference. The 1 liter bottle is being used and being examined by a lot of other airlines. They're looking at doing spreading it around to more North American airlines and even different parts of the world and all that, especially long distance flights, overseas flights and stuff, where it would really help reduce the weight. The plastic bottle itself, is a silicone oxide barrier coating, seals the container from the inside to protect the contents from oxidation. So you don't have, over a term, a period of time, the wine becoming oxidized from bleeding through the bottle, or from the bottle leaking, if you will, air into it. The Plasmax silicone oxide is FDA compliant, and it has been approved for oxygen-sensitive products, so it is completely past the laws. And it's also ultra-thin, less than 100 nanometers on the inside of the bottle. So it's a great new thing that they're having out there, plastic bottles for airlines. I'm surprised we haven't seen more in the store shelves now. I know of one plastic bottle that's been invented that has a self-sealed top and all sorts of great stuff with it, and I'm surprised that we haven't seen that hit the shelves now. It's a great design. I've had an opportunity to see it in the early stages and stuff, and as it's been further developed, and it is a great design. So if you see plastic, though, don't be afraid of it. Just like everybody's afraid of screw cap at the beginning, most wines are drank so fast, it's not going to make a difference. Another thing I want to talk about. Resveratrol. Resveratrol is a popular naturally occurring compound found in grapes, also in red wine, and also in peanuts. And this is the good stuff. This is the good stuff in wine. I may have mentioned this before. It's time to mention it again because there's been more studies on it, and it's found to be even better. One study examined the benefits, a beneficial role in osteoporosis, and also found it decreased the risk of breast cancer in all people that they've tested, decreased it by anywhere from 5 to 10%, a glass of red wine a day. The tumor suppressive effects of resveratrol were the consequence of an AKT activation. It's a nuclear level, and it's which plays a key role in the protection of breast cancer, and also they're saying prostate cancer can be affected by it. The researchers have concluded that resveratrol is anticipated to be highly effective in management of postmenopausal osteoporosis without an increased risk of breast cancer, which is something that's great, because there's a lot of pills they give for postmenopausal osteoporosis does increase risk of breast cancer, and they're finding that this does not. A 2011 study has demonstrated that resveratrol inhibited human breast cancer cell proliferation, which is, well, actually what cancer is. Researchers at University of Calabria treated several breast cancer cell lines with resveratrol. I always want to say it wrong. I always want to say revert and say the V before the S. Resveratrol, and compared the growth of cells left untreated, and they found an important reduction in cell growth by those treated by resveratrol, while no changes were seen in the untreated cells. So it has been experimented on. It works. It is good. It is something that has really, really increased the benefits of red wine, wine around it. It is in red wine because it is in the skins, not white wine so much because you remove the skins. One of the most studied antioxidants in red wine has been resveratrol. It is found in the seeds and the skins of the grapes, and red wine has a high concentration of it because the skin and seeds ferment in the grape's juice while you're doing the winemaking process. This prolonged contact during fermentation produces significant levels of the resveratrol in red wines. So that's why it's good in red wines. White wines also contains resveratrol, but the skins and seeds are removed early in the process, so it reduces the concentration. So, you know, okay, there's your excuse. If you like white wine, drink a whole lot of it so you can get more resveratrol, but then your liver is going to collapse and it won't do any good. But red wines is really where you find the majority of your resveratrol. Antioxidants like resveratrol are beneficial in preventing harmful elements in the body from attacking healthy cells. Not only is it found in red wine, but also peanuts, blueberries, and cranberries. So I guess if you have a blueberry wine, you might increase your resveratrol intake. It's also easily absorbed by the human body, which is always a good thing. Antioxidant properties also help create health benefits and help prevention of heart disease and the reduction of lung tissue inflammation in chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. And for all of you out there who's always watched those TV advertisements and they talk about COPD, that's what it is, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Another benefit of red wine, while we were on the benefits of red wine, is cancer prevention. It seems that the anti-cancer properties of resveratrol work on several different levels. Now, we just mentioned breast cancer and the studies just recently done on that. But it also minimizes the DNA mutations that lead to cancer, not just in the breast, but also a lot of other parts of the body, including cell death in cancer cells. And it also blocks the formation of new blood vessels that feed tumors, which is a big plus there. I mean, if you're going to have cancer cells, whenever we do a tip jar at work, and we do a different tip jar for a different charity every month, you may have heard me talk about this. Whenever we do a tip jar at work, I tend to look up a little bit about what we're studying or what we're doing tips for. This last month, it was pancreatic cancer. And so I looked up a little bit about cancer. And this is one of the things about cancer, and pancreatic as well as many others, is that the cancer cells create new blood lines and feeds off the body. And so if the resveratrol can block those new blood inside the blood vessels and block that, that's a great plus. Also, plaque is the primary cause of atherosclerosis and or hardening of the arteries. And new studies show that antioxidant saponin, also found in red wine, may aid in reducing the levels of LDL cholesterol. That's your bad stuff. H is your good stuff. L is your bad stuff. Limits the oxidation and low in density. How's it pronounced? Lipoprotein. cholesterol, which is LDL. Reduction of levels of LDL or in its oxidation can potentially decrease the buildup of plaque, which can also stop heart attacks and strokes. Cancer. Also, the large studies are still required to prove a little bit more results on all of this, including prevention of breast cancer and all sorts of other cancers and everything. But what they have studied so far in smaller studies have proven that all this stuff is beneficial in wine drinking. So as if you need another excuse to drink wine, it is without a doubt healthy. So wanted to pass that on. Grapes for the heart. And while we're still talking about health benefits, grapes for the heart. Another article I found, this is out of Prepared Foods in September. It says, Cyvex Nutrition BioVin Full Spectrum Grape Extract and BioVin 20 Grape Skin Extract, which are obviously company names, proprietary names, have successfully achieved self-determined GRAS status and can be used in a wide range of functional foods and beverages, says the company. This status manufacturers can transform conventional food and beverages offering into products that deliver powerful antioxidants and heart health benefits. So BioVin is a full-spectrum grape extract manufactured from whole red wine grapes from the Rhone Valley in France. By using the grape in its entirety, including stems, seeds, and skins, all the beneficial phytochemicals can be extracted, including a whole bunch of ones here I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I will probably get them wrong. Again, more benefits of grape and wine grapes. So it's amazing. It's amazing what's happening out there, what they're discovering, what they're finding. You know, one of the things I was going to do before tonight's program, and I not that I didn't want to do it or anything. It just it got away from me. I forgot. I was going to get a hold of Save the Grapes and see really what the status was on HR 1161.
Right.
I haven't heard us talk about that in a while. I think it's dead. I think 1161 is dead simply because it didn't pass. It didn't do anything this year. It died in committee, which a lot of things do. And because it died, they have to reintroduce it next year. That doesn't mean that it won't be reintroduced next year, but it does mean that we made it through another year without it passing. We will continue our journey campaigning against 1161, H.R. 1161, or whatever they will call it next year. It was, 5462 or something? I don't know what it was last year, but yeah. 1161 this year. But we will continue our campaigning against it, and we continue to invite anyone who is in favor of it to come on the air and explain to us why. We promise we won't put you on the spot. We promise we won't yell at you and scream and tell you you're an idiot. We will just want you to explain to us why you are in favor of this. And we will continue to try to get a senator or somebody out there who, if it is reintroduced, is co-signing it or sponsoring it or signed off on it to come on and explain to us. But so far, no one has. 1161, I was going to find out and be sure that it was dead. I will do that. I think we're not going to have a program next week. I think we're going to jump over and start in Oklahoma in January. But when we come back for January, because we're all going to take the jet and do a little traveling over the next week or so. When we come back, I will find out what the actual status is on 1161. And hopefully it has died. Different states. I will be talking about different states here and all that. I mean, actually, I'm going to be talking about a lot more than I thought I would. I guess my engineer was right. Um, something I want to talk about, a proposed rulemaking on allergens in wine. This has been kicked around off and on for years. I just found this old sheet here. This is something that was talked about, and I want to tell you about this. It's died, but every once in a while I hear repercussions that it's popping up again, and I hope it doesn't because it's so ridiculous. This back in 2006, so this is 5 years ago, but again, I hear things every once in a while. Back in 2006, the Food and Drug Administration and our benevolent government decided that we should be labeling our wines with the warning on there that says it contains allergens. And the reason for this is sometimes, and not always, but sometimes when wineries use stainless steel tanks and they want to add oak to the stainless steel tanks, instead of putting logs or chips or disc or planks or whatever into the tank to get oak, and you can do that, that's all legal and everything, instead of using oak barrels, sometimes wineries will add dust, oak dust. And the reason for that is it covers a lot more of an area, and the dust is it's good. It gives the oak, it adds oak to the wine, more dust, the more oak it adds. But it's just a nice little touch that some wineries use instead of using the other methods. This dust, oak dust, floats around in the wine, and it gives it a little bit of oakiness, a little vanilla, a little toasty oakiness. To clean these tanks, to clean this dust out of there, to get it down so they can rack off, a lot of wineries, I don't say a lot, the wineries that do it, a lot of the ones that do it, will use different methods to clean this. What they will do is they will use egg whites or even milk, a milk ingredient, a thickened milk ingredient, or isinglass, which is a fining agent from fish. They will use this stuff. They will dump it in the top of the tank. All this stuff is heavier than the wine. And I'm sorry? Yeah. Without the yolk, they take the yolk out. And this is all heavier than the wine. And it is thicker than the dust, so as this stuff falls down through the wine, it picks up all the dust and drags it to the bottom of the tank. And so basically, you've cleaned out a lot of this stuff, and then you pump off or rack off the top of it above where the egg or milk or fish or whatever has settled in the bottom of the tank. And so you've got a pretty clean wine, and then you can go ahead and filter it from there and then bottle it and all. Well, the government keeps kicking around the idea that we should label our wines that it contains allergens because some people are allergic to eggs or milk or fish or something. Now, to begin with, very few wineries do this. Secondly, if we start putting contains allergens on our wine bottles, it's going to open up a can of worms that we will never be able to close. A glass of red wine contains 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 different chemicals. It depends on who you talk to. I've heard anywhere from 200 to 800. White wines, only about 150 less, anywhere from 150 to 700. I mean, it just depends on who you talk to and all that. But wine contains a lot of chemicals. Any number of things can cause reactions to people. Most of the time, they won't. And if you start putting something like contains allergens on there, people blame sulfites for everything now. If you put allergens on there, it's like I said, it's a can of worms you never will be able to close if it is open. So this came out in 2006. I keep hearing little bits and pieces. I see little things here and there. that they're talking about it again and that they're saying things about it. Basically, it's not going to happen. If it does start coming out again, believe me, I will pass it on. And you can write to your congressman, just like you did a wonderful job with the H.R. 1161. Next thing I want to cover here real quick. We talked about organic farming. Number of certified organic growing operations in each state. I'm not going to go down through them all. I'm just going to mention a few here. West Virginia has the lowest at 6. California the most at 2,887. Florida falls in there with 113. Oh, wait a minute. I said West Virginia is 6. I see Delaware only has 4. Florida has 113. They're anywhere from 18 in South Carolina, 635 in Maine, 803 in New York. Now, these include all organic farming, not just grapes. So it does include grapes, but it also includes every other type of organic farming. If you want to know your state and how many organic farms are in your state, let me know. I'll be happy to email you the list or something, or let me know on our Facebook page, which, by the way, is All About Wine 101, the numbers 101, at Facebook.
Mm. Which one?
Did I say that?
That's the email address.
Oh.
101. All about wine 101 at gmail.com. And then the Facebook is facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr.
Ah, there you go.
Right? Yeah, there you all go. Right. Okay.
Got thanks. That's why I like to have Mike around. He catches
it. I have to prove my worth every once in a while. Usage.
But, if you want to know any more about organic farming in your state, just let me know. I'll send you the list. Here's something else that might surprise a lot of people. The nightcap, long considered a way to take the edge off before bedtime, may actually prevent a good night's sleep. This is according to a new study conducted by Japanese researchers. This is Health Day reports that the team found that alcohol increased the heart rate and interfered with the restorative functions of sleep. And the more alcohol the participants drank, the greater the effect. So if you want to stay up and study for a test, drink alcohol. Have a glass of wine or two. EEGs revealed that it appears to be a good night's sleep in the first half of the sleep cycle, but the picture changed in the second half, leading the researchers to conclude that drinking leads to insomnia. So for some, a small drink may initiate sleep, but large amounts of alcohol interfere with sleep quality and the restorative role of sleep. So grandma having her little glass of port before bed, she was right. But having yourself a glass or two of wine before bed, not right. So keep that in mind. While I am pulling up a couple of things here, I want to tell you about a couple things I found. Hangover patch. They have a hangover patch. They said it's supposed to work great with wine. If you get too much champagne or too much wine over the holidays, it's a hangover patch called a Zaca. Z-A-C-A, Zaca. I looked up Zaca everywhere I can possibly look up Zaca, and I could not find anything on Zaca. But the article that I did see said great for hangovers, or saying this is a great way to keep from having hangovers. I suppose if you drink a whole bunch of stuff and you sit down and you spend 2 or 3 hours at the computer trying to find a Zaca, then your wine is metabolized, and so you don't have to worry about hangover. Another thing, Starbucks has been testing wine in stores in Seattle for the last couple of years. So if any listeners up there in Seattle, tell me more about this. But they've been testing wine up in Seattle. That's the home of Starbucks, by the way. I guess everybody knows that. They've been selling red and white and rosé wine as part of their other thing. They are now going to branch out. The next city they're moving into is Chicago. They're going to start selling wine in the Starbucks in Chicago. No word on what type of wine. No word on who's going to make it. No word on who's going to furnish it. and no word on how much they're going to charge for it. It's just that they released the fact that they are going to have wine available in the Chicago Starbucks. A cup of regular coffee, you go out and you buy a cup of coffee just about anywhere, it's going to cost you $1.50, $2. At Starbucks, the same coffee is going to cost you $5. So don't plan on getting any inexpensive wine. They'll probably buy $2 chuck and charge you $8 for a glass or something. I'm not a Starbucks fan, by the way. Little wire thing that goes on top of a champagne bottle was invented in 1844 by a Frenchman by the name of Adolphe Jacquesson, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S-O-N, Jacquesson. And that little thing is named a mousselet, M-U-S-E-L-E-T. So just a bit of trivia there for you. Kosher wine. We had our religious holiday, Jewish religious holiday, Tuesday evening at sundown, Passover. And so I want to talk a little bit about kosher wine. Kosher wine is grape wine produced according to Judaism's religious law, especially Jewish dietary laws. And the Jewish dietary laws are called a kashrut, I believe it's pronounced. Kashrut. That's a law. Kosher wine for Passover must be specifically kept free from grain, bread, and dough. These are things that are forbidden during Passover. Kosher wine is produced, marketed, and sold commercially to Orthodox Jews, and it must have the seal of approval of a supervising agency. This seal of approval called a Hechsher, H-E-C-H-S-H-E-R. Hechsher is a kosher approval, is actually what that means, the term. And the seal of approval must come from a supervising agency or an organization such as the Orthodox Union or of an authoritative rabbi who is also preferably a posek, and that's P-O-S-E-K. And a posek is a term in Jewish law for a decider. Decides the cases of law where it's inconclusive, all this. This is a posek. And or it must be supervised by the Jewish religious court of law, according to Orthodox Judaism. This court of law is called a Beth Din, and a Beth Din is a house of judgment. It's Judaism court of law. So these are all the rules and regulations according to kosher wine. Kosher wine is made in almost every, it's made in a lot of countries now. Because of the increased demand of kosher wine, the number of wine producing countries now have increased, and a sophisticated kosher wine has fallen under the rabbinical. Supervision, especially out of Israel, but the United States, France, Germany, Italy, South Africa, and Australia also are making a lot of kosher wine now, too. History, I'm not going to get into the history of kosher wine. Alcohol was used in the Bible. Vineyards were mentioned in the Bible like 400 some odd times, 420 times, I believe it has. Religious or not, the Bible also had Jesus' first miracle involving wine turning water into wine. So wine is really used quite a bit in the Bible, so hence the history has been quite long and storied for wine and for religion, and the Jewish have really taken it to heart with their kosher wine. Today, kosher wine is produced not only in Israel, but throughout the world, including Napa Valley and Saint-Emilion region of Bordeaux. So it's becoming pretty mainstream just about everywhere. Requirements for being kosher, it gets pretty crazy, actually, because of wine's special role in non-Jewish religions. The laws specify that the wine cannot be considered kosher if it has been used for idolatry. Now, idolatry is the study of idols, or not the study, but the use of idols. Anything in the Jewish law that depicts idols is part of it. Now, so let me clarify this. The cross, technically, is an idol. You talk directly to God in the Jewish religion. You do not talk through idols or through people or anything. The Pope, you don't talk to the Pope. You talk directly to God. And that's just, how the Jewish religion is set up. This has been loosened a lot. This particular rule has been loosened a lot over the years because of the fact that non-Jews have made wine. And so, the connection and Christians being, all that. So they're loosening the law. But the wine that has been poured to an idol that has been touched by someone who believes in idols or produced by non-Jews, this stops it from being kosher wine. When kosher wine is, and there's a Jewish word here, which means cooked or boiled, it becomes unfit for idolatrous use and will keep the status of kosher wine, even if touched after that by an adulterer. In other words, if you take a kosher wine, and you cook it or boil it, then those who worship idols will not touch it. And even if they do, it makes no difference because it's already kosher and will stay kosher from then on. But it's a cooked wine. So this is why kosher wine for so many years has always been looked upon as bad wine. Now they have said that you can bring it up to like 194 degrees Fahrenheit, which is enough. And then at this temperature, the wine is not bubbling, but it is cooking, and in the sense that it will evaporate much more quickly than usual. But this manages to reduce the damage done to the wine, but it still has a substantial effect in quality and aging potential. So it doesn't affect aging potential and stuff like that if they only bring it up to 194 degrees. And it gets away from that stringent rule of you have to cook or boil it. Like I say, I was amazed at the stuff I found out about kosher wine. Any ingredient, to be considered kosher, a Sabbath observant Jew must be involved in the entire winemaking process, from the harvesting of the grapes through fermentation to bottling. And any ingredient used, including finings, must be kosher. So if you use things such as caseon, which, like I say, is a dairy product, then our gelatins, our inglass, which is usually from fish, or egg whites, these all have to be kosher also. Now, going to the ones I just talked about here, caseon is derived from dairy products. This does not render it non-kosher, but unfit for consumption with meat. Gelatin, commonly used, is derived from non-kosher animals. And even if kosher, as a byproduct of animal slaughter, it renders the wine unfit for consumption with dairy products. And inglass, which is historically came exclusively from non-kosher fish, but can be currently produced from kosher fish as well. And then egg whites can be used as a clarification of kosher wine, but would not be appropriate for vegan kosher wine. There's the rules. You will be tested. It's amazing, all the different rules and regulations that they have for it. Very strict rules, but in 1960, the Committee on Jewish Law and Standards approved a responsum, our legal ruling by Rabbi Israel Silverman on the subject. And Rabbi Israel Silverman loosened up a lot of these laws. He said it's okay if the wine is manufactured by Gentiles and thus are not prohibited by Jewish law. He also loosened up a lot of stuff there. And they went into effect. Rabbi Elliot Indorf, also from these the Committee on Jewish Law and Standards, noted that not all wines are made in an automatic process, and so therefore it doesn't really apply if it's handmade all the way through. Back and forth. Basically, kosher wine is wine that has been followed all the way through the process by a rabbi or a representative of the rabbi who does that stuff. The rabbi has a representative that is legal. There is almost all the Jewish holidays have a wine that is served at it, particularly Passover. Passover, all present drink 4 cups of wine as part of the celebrations. Grape juices can be substituted in a lot of occasions, but hey, why would you if you can drink wine? They have Jewish marriages, circumcision ceremonies, redemption of the firstborn ceremonies, obligatory blessings of different ones, all that. Just all this, the wine has to be kosher. So there's lots of uses for kosher wine. That's why so many places are making it now. In the United States, about 40% of the Jewish population of the world lives in the United States. So because of that, the United States now is making a lot of kosher wines, and a lot of stores, a lot of wine stores have a kosher section. Most of these have Manischewitz. Everybody knows Manischewitz. That's the one that's been around. That's a kosher wine. And a lot of imitators on that. It's always produced a sweet wine made with the Labrusca family of grapes and not the vinifera. Addition of syrup, corn syrup, and, you know, it's just a very different taste. I mean, everybody, I can venture to guess probably everybody's had Manischewitz. You know, it's something that everybody tries at least once. But the United States now is doing a lot better in the kosher wines. They're making a lot more kosher wines. They're making a lot better kosher wines. Now, the most common, or actually not the most common, the best kosher wine is made not in Israel, but in Golan Heights. Now, Golan Heights, if you're not familiar with it, is between Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. It's over off the Mediterranean Sea. And it is actually occupied territory. It's part of Syria, but the Jews have occupied the territory, and they've been there for a number of years. I won't go into the wars and the histories and everything. I mean, it's been going on for, like, ever, back to antiquity. It's been battled and fought over, but right now it's occupied by about 50% Jews and 50% Syrians. I mean, it's the Syrian territory occupied by Israel is what it is. There's approximately 20,000 Israelis there and about 20,000 Syrians there in the Golan Heights. But the Golan Heights also makes a phenomenal wine. They get the grapes from that area there, and they make a phenomenal wine. What they did was an area, and let me find this here, because this is, I thought, was really quite interesting. Well, I will find it in a second. Please bear with me. Oh, yeah, here we go. On a visit to the Golan Heights in 1972, Cornelius Oge, O-U-G-H, I guess pronounced Oge, a professor of viticulture and oenology at the University of California, Davis, said that the conditions in the Golan were very suitable for cultivation of wine grapes. So in 1976, the first wine grapes were planted. What happened was a consortium of four kibbutzim and four moshovim took up the challenge. That's the Jewish clergy, clearing about 250 burnt-out tanks in the Golan's Valley of Tears to plant vineyards. And the 250 burnt-out tanks came from the Seven-Day War in 1967, and they cleaned that out and they planted vineyards there. And now they there's a winery in the Golan Heights, which makes wine for actually most of the kosher wine in the world. Is this what I want? No. I had something more about that area, the winery and stuff, and I don't have it here. Wait a minute. Well, I don't have it. Oh, well, but the winery there makes wines for everything. They use the standard method. They do a lot of stuff. They sell like 60% of it export and all that. So this is one of the biggest kosher wine producing wineries in the world. A great place for wine and to get kosher wine. So if you're looking for kosher wine, Golan Heights. Now, it's not going to say Golan Heights on it. Let me explain to you what happened there. They were getting grapes and having it bottled in another country. And so they were putting grapes from Golan Heights, Israel, and then the country where it was bottled. Well, the Syrians said, no, you're not Israel. You are squatting on our land. That Syrian land. So they said, okay, and so they removed that, and then there was another complaint because of the way the label said the country of origin, and so they just dropped the country of origin completely. So there is no country of origin for the wines coming out of Golan Heights. So, but kosher wine, fascinating. I can spend a lot more time on it. I'm not going to because I'm going to cover a few other things here. And I was worried I wasn't going to have enough to talk about. One of the next things I want to talk about, and this is good for coming up here on the holidays here. Wine and food apps. I got to tell you about these. And if you're listening, if you listen to this after the holidays, it still will be available. I don't foresee these prices or anything going up. But if you're looking for wine and food apps, these are cool. These are all for iPhone, Android, and a lot of other mobile devices. Some of them don't apply for all of them yet, but most of them for iPhone and Android. And a lot of you do listen to this program on iPhone, so it'll work for you. The first one is, and I will give you, I'll try to give you contact numbers or our email addresses to get a hold of these. First one is from localwineevents.com. It costs $3.99. The app price is $3.99. And it's localwineevents.com app to find wine and food events in your area. And they have apps for both iPhone and Android. But that's $3.99. Now, the next ones I have for you here are free. Yay. If it's free, it's for me. This is pretty cool. This is from Wine Spectator. And it's we got 90. Did we extend ourselves tonight?
It was 60 minutes. I didn't think we were going to, you know. That's okay. Oh. We can go into overtime.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, if you're listening live, we're going to leave you. Tune in to our – I didn't think we were either. I thought I was going to be done talking. I should know better. If you're listening to us live, tune in on archives. We will be the rest of there. You need to listen to these apps, though, so – in 60 seconds, we're going to be out of here live. Thanks for listening. Have yourself a very Merry Christmas and a good New Year. We'll see you after the first of the year if you're listening live.
Yeah.
If you're listening on archives, okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
Thank you. Yep.
Next one here, Wine Spectator. Wine Spectator Vintage Chart Plus is what it's called. It's a free iPhone app designed to help you quickly select a great bottle of wine from a reliable vintage. This is whether browsing at a restaurant or your favorite wine shop, Vintage Chart Plus enables you to confidently select a wine from any of the world's top wine regions, knowing it will always be a good year. I don't know if I've talked about Vintage Chart or not. I think maybe I have, but you know, if I haven't, then you know, let me know. I'll explain Vintage Chart a little bit more. Something I always talk about in my class, but I don't know if I've talked about it on the program. Next, the apps.winespectator.com/. You can get a hold of that. It's a free app. apps.winespectator.com/. Next one. Hello Vino wine recommendations. This is available for iPhone and Android. And this is also free. This is ranked number one on apps for wine lovers. Whoa. The little thing says, have you ever been stuck in the wine aisle with hundreds of bottles of wines to choose from? Hello Vino will give you wine recommendations for meals, pairings, occasions, gifts, and holidays. Free app for wine lovers. Hello Vino is a free wine app for your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch. Whether you're looking for wine to pair with food, enjoy wine on its own by taste or flavor, or give wine as a gift, Hello Vino will provide you with wine recommendations. Wine search. You can also perform a quick search for a specific wine while you're shopping in a store or sitting in a restaurant. Use our free app to get wine ratings and reviews to help with your wine purchasing decision. And that is available at hellovino.com. Cool, cool app there. Next one is called Crushed, C-R-U-S-H-D, Crushed. This is free for iPhone. It says Crushed is a dynamic mobile app transforming the way people recommend and purchase their wine. The app allows users to follow friends, share wine recommendations, buy recommended wines at the best prices, and remember the wines they love. Crushed delivers to users the first truly social wine community. That's a big statement. That's available at www.crushedwines.com. That's C-R-U-S-H-D, no E, just D, wine, W-I-N-E-S.com. And this one's sort of cool. This costs $3.99, though, but this is it's for Virginia. It's called Virginia Wine in My Pocket. It's the only iPhone travel guide for Virginia wine country, written by Nancy Bauer and Rick Collier, longtime Virginia residents, travel writers, and wine explorers. This In My Pocket guide includes information of more than 160 Virginia wineries. Wow! A lot of wineries there. Plus nearby inns, dining, GPS mapping to each, and other information. Thousands of photos, tasting fees, hours, and directions help wine travel lovers navigate the beautiful back roads of Virginia in search of their perfect wine. So it's also available on iPad and iPod Touch, and coming soon to Android. And that's available at Virginia Wine in My Pocket, all one word, virginiawineinmypocket.com. And then the last one here, next to the last one. This is from Snooth Wine, S-N-O-O-T-H. If you don't subscribe to Snooth Wine on your Facebook or something, too, this is a cool site. This is a free app for iPhone. Snooth's new iPhone app will change the way you interact with wine, representing an amazing leap forward in wine identification and virtual cellar management. The new Snooth Wine app makes finding a wine and discovering local availability easier than ever. Once the app recognizes your wine, you can then discover where it's available near you, compare prices from stores around the world, add the wine to your wish list or virtual cellar, read reviews, and create your own reviews. All on snoothwine.com. That is available at www.snooth.com. S-N-O-O-T-H.com/phone-app/. And now the last one, and this one does cost. This is $4.99 for a year. But it's called the Better Wine Guide. And it offers a whole bunch of stuff. That's why they got you $4.99 a year, and then you have to re-up it. Better Wine Guide for iPhone is designed to help most everyone that enjoys wine but is not a wine expert find better wine. It is meant for people that spend under $25 per bottle and buy wine in grocery stores, convenience stores, or liquor stores as opposed to fine wine type of merchants. It is not meant for wine collectors, connoisseurs, or experts. Features. Everything is designed around simplicity. No need to be a wine expert. Barcode scanning makes finding and reading tasting notes and scores extremely easy. All wines are professionally rated with a score and tasting notes. Plus, averaged community ratings will be available as users rate their own wine. Many of the most popular available wines available in the United States are rated and cost under $25, most of which have never been rated by any wine expert. Find the best wines based on your budget, searchable in $5 increments up to $25. Powerful search feature is available. Select your own search criteria. Enter and store your own scores and notes for later reference. And easily keeps track of all wines you purchase on any wine you may be interested in at a later time, and much more. Wow. So, but $4.99 a year for that. Sounds pretty comprehensive, though. It's under betterwineguide.com/. So it's a pretty comprehensive little app there. But there's some nice apps for your iPhones and Androids if you are looking for wine apps. Those are pretty cool. Other things I want to talk about, but I'm only going to talk about one more thing here. And this one more thing, I was going to talk about champagne. I'm not. I can almost do another trivia week. You know that? trying to get caught up on things. One last thing. I'm not a big fan of decanting. If it's an old wine, yes, you need to can it. If it's a very young wine with a lot of tannins and a lot of astringency and stuff like that, yeah, you should decant it. Either that or lay it down and let it age and not worry about decanting it. But if it's I'm always of the opinion if I'm going to go out and buy a $40 bottle of wine that I need to decant so that it ends up tasting like a $20 bottle of wine, I'd rather buy myself two $20 bottles of wine and have two wines with the tannins already where I want it. So I'm only time I really am a big fan of decanting is when the wine doesn't present itself the way it's supposed to. And it's usually the older wines and again, some younger wines, but decanting for the purpose of decanting really is not I'm not a big fan of it. But this is something that is interesting. No decanter? Try a blender. I'd never heard of this before, and there was an article out of the West Palm Beach paper, Cox Newspapers over in West Palm Beach. And it's talking about hyper decanting, as it's called. Hyper decanting. You don't have a decanter. You don't have something to put it in. You open up a wine. The wine is a $15 Portuguese red or one that really does need a little bit of air into it before you start serving it to everybody. And you know that this wine needs to be aired out a little bit. You know this wine needs to have a little bit of time open, but you don't have time open, so what do? You throw it in a blender called hyper decanting. You throw it in the blender, you turn on the blender, and you let it spin and whiz and whirl for just a short period of time, 15, 20 seconds. and then you turn it off and you taste it. If you think you need it any longer, you can always turn it back on again. But this is called hyperdecanting. Hyperdecanting means simply a giant rush of oxygen engulfs the wine. This yields wines with intense but short-lived aromas. This softening is what appeals to people. It makes the wine better to taste. You know, I mean, regardless of any true rigorous examination of hyperdecanting should be undertaken over the course of hours and most likely with food. But, you know, if you've got a wine that really does need to be decanted and you don't have a way to do it, throw it in the blender. Turn it on for 10, 15 seconds. You know, take a little dip out of it and see what it tastes like. And then if it needs more, then do it. It will soften it. It's not going to make it great. It's going to soften a little bit. It's going to get air to it. It's going to soften some of that harshness and all that. These are things that you want anyway. So hyperdecanting. Blender, throw your wine in the blender. And that's it. I wanted to cover that since we are in the holiday season here and people are going to be having wines and stuff. And so, there's lots of other stuff I could talk about. I was going to talk about champagne. I'm not going to spend the time on that because I can probably talk quite a bit on that. And there's other little notes and pieces. Why is not Chardonnay and Cabernet grapes used in raisins? I was going to talk about that. They got a new thing out called a decanter bottle. There's lots of stuff. There's all sorts of, I see all sorts of little bitty bits of trivia to share with the reader. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe another show like that would be good.
Yeah, maybe we might need another trivia show just to, just to catch people up on what's happening and stuff. I always like to do that anyway, catch people up.
Yeah.
So there we go. You know, we probably should have played the Wine Fest thing to the live audience, but oh well.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I just thought about it. So
yeah, yeah, that would be a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why we don't have advertisers because we don't do what we're supposed to.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm heard during the live portion of the show. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Yeah. Yeah, we normally don't play the ads until we're actually off the air, and then it's like, really doesn't make a difference. we can do that now because we do have quite a few archive listeners, so we can do that now, and you know, hopefully they will, you know, they'll hear this, and you know, it's going to be a great weekend here, definitely, and you know, you don't have to shovel snow, you don't have to worry about, you know, sliding across the highway or anything, because, well. Yeah, some of our drivers would make you do that, but for weather reasons, you don't have to worry about that. So it's going to be a great weekend, and I believe the temperatures are going to be like around 80, maybe in the low 80s this weekend. I mean, we have a cold front coming in, so it's going to drop us down to, you know, the low 80s, and it's going to be great. So
the nights are supposed to be in the mid 50s, so it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Come down here, and it's going to be. I mean, what a great way to get your last minute holiday shopping done, and with some unique items and gifts. I mean, it's going to be perfect. So, let me go ahead and run this real quick, and then we can do. I think the address and everything's in there. So, but just in case, we'll run that again afterwards. So, hold on just a second. This is about the Wine Fest this coming Saturday, December 24th, at Florida State's Winery. Hold on.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida State's Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. Actually going to be open Christmas Eve, and the Wine Fest is 11, I don't know if it even said that in there, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
And we'll be closing at 4 that day, too.
Oh, okay.
Normally open until 6, so we're going to go ahead and close at 4.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so come on down, and, you know, it's going to be a great time. 25241 State Road 52, I don't know, I didn't mention that, but you go on I-75 to exit 285. That's 285. Exits. That's the exit number off of Interstate 75. That is State Road 52. You're going to go west about 4 miles, and you'll see the signs for. Hello. Oh, something went. You'll see the signs for Florida State's Winery about 4 miles west of I-75, or you can get there from the Suncoast Parkway, US 19. Just head east, and you'll see it up there just a little ways. So it'd be very, very cool. For more information, directions again, 813-996-2113. That I don't know if it's the tape going bad on that because it's been played so many times, but maybe I need to redo that one. It just sounded bassy on my headset.
Me too. Yeah.
Did it? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Or go to the website www.floridaestateswines.com. Floridaestateswines.com. And there's information on there as well. Subscribe to the newsletter. You get all kinds of cool stuff in your email every couple of weeks. And also information about the Wine Fest and recipe wine facts and everything. It's a very, very good newsletter. So also information about your tip jars in there as well. So
yeah.
Very cool. So
thanks.
Do that, and it'll be great. And what a great, you know, thing to place, a great area to wind down. I don't mean it that way.
No pun intended.
What a great way to wind down. wind down and anyway. So yeah, stop by and you'll get to meet the world famous Ron, show host here, radio personality, winemaker, cellar master, general manager, vice president, all that Florida State.
All those good titles and everything.
Yes, very cool. So maybe he'll do autographs. You should have like a little seating booth and, you know, release a book and have autographs and everything.
yeah. Or just record all these programs all on one big long tape and then sell that.
Yeah.
Big CD. That'd be good.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. Yeah, because I got a whole bunch of them on my hard drives here, so you know, I know how much room they take. It's not, and I'm taking notes now, so just trying to ditch the paper and get into keeping it digitized. So, okay, let me close that out.
Everyone out there, again, happy Hanukkah and happy, merry Christmas. And a happy, safe New Year, because we won't see you for a couple of weeks.
No. Oh, that's right. We're not going to be on. We won't be on next week, next Thursday. So. But we'll be back after the first of the year. So that'll be cool.
Bus people have been drinking too much.
Yes, they have.
It's so nice and warm out there, though. They're hanging out, hanging around.
Yeah. So thanks, y'all. You all have like Ron said, and we'll see you all in 2012. So our first show will be somewhere around January the 5th.
That'd be right.
Just stay tuned. stay tuned to the Facebook page, like we mentioned earlier, facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. That's one word, allaboutwinebtr, for information on, you know, the show and everything. And you post quite a bit in there, so it's really cool to follow that and know what's going to happen on the program. Also, if you'd like, go to Google. You can Google and just type "do a barrel roll," and as in wine barrel, but just "do a barrel roll" and "barrel roll," and watch your screen twist automatically. So I was like, I wonder where that link went to, and sure enough, it did it again. So I was like, okay, good, it's still active. It's kind of funny if you. It was on one of the news channels several months ago, and I tried it, and I go, oh my God, how'd they do that? Go to google.com, and in the little search box, just start typing, do a barrel roll, and somewhere in there, if it's set up right, it'll start doing it automatically, or you may have to press enter, and after typing roll, and it should roll on you. So it's, I don't know if it's everybody's. I have to go, wait a minute, what was that? Okay, so try that. And, yeah, that's my gift to our listeners.
Oh, there it just did it. My screen is rolling.
See? All right.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, the things we find out. Don't forget to email the show, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And Ron will either present your question on a future show or answer it, and or just do it directly by email. You can also send your comments and feedback on there. And I know he checks it often because I usually email him through that also. So
yeah,
we'll see you all. We'll see you all, and hope you have a great holiday, Christmas, and New Year, and be safe. And we'll see you at the January 5th on the next All About Wine Show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And thank you all for listening for the past year. We really appreciate it. And it's been great, and we'll be back next year.
Yep.
Yay!
Yay! Okay. Thank you all again.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, Buzz Peter. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was a little quick. I had to close the door. Okay. We'll see you all next time. Thanks a lot.